إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. وبعد، my dear brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu created this world and created all that is in this world and set a system according to which this world is to be run. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made us, the human beings, as the trustees to run this world in a way which is beneficial for us and beneficial for the world. And in that process, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it permissible for us to use the resources of this world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us control over the materials of this world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us control over the creatures of the world, other living creatures. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us the intelligence and the ability and so on to administer them, to run them, to use them for the benefit of everyone, for this benefit of the whole world. And that is the trust in which with which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave entrusted us with human beings. And in order to help us to do that in a way which is pleasing to Him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Anbiya, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent His kitabs, which all begin from that one single point, which is the Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To accept and to understand that there is no one worthy of worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He is the Rabbul Alameen, that He is the Creator, the Sustainer, that He is the Razzaq Zul Quwwat Al Mateen, that He is the one who sustains and feeds, and therefore we worship Him Jalla Jalaluhu. And the second point that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is common to all the Anbiya alayhim as-salam, from Adam alayhi salam to Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi salam, is this issue of Tawheed, that there is no one worthy of worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, la ilaha illallah. And the second one is that we are answerable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment. These are the two fundamental principles of Islam from day one till today and till the last day. And associated with both of these two is the belief in and following of the Nabi of the time. And after Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there is no other Nabi. And after Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the following of all other Anbiya previous to him has also become mu'attal. It has become null and void, and only Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is to be followed. We have the famous story from the Seerah where Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu came into Masjid al-Nabawi al-Sharif, and Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sitting there, other Sahaba were there, and Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu came with some pages or a part of the Torah, and he said to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "This is the Torah." Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam looked at Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu saw the expression on the face of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he turned around and told Umar, "Sit down." So Umar radiallahu anhu said, "I have brought some pages from the Torah." Abu Bakr Siddiq said, "Sit down." So Umar ibn al-Khattab sat down radiallahu anhu. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam then said, "By the one in whose hand is the life of Muhammad, if Musa himself were to come today, he would come as my ummati and he would follow me." Later on, Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu asked Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, he said, "Why did you tell me to sit down?" He said, "Because the expression on the face of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was such that I was afraid that he would say something to you meaning that he would say something to you which would destroy you, because you were standing there, you know, prominent, and that's why I said sit down, don't be prominent, because unknowingly you have done something which has angered him, not that he did it for any, you know, purpose. The point being that this is one of the many dalail to say that Rasulullah is the last and final Rasul after whom there is no other Rasul, and after his coming even the ones before him are, we accept them as the Anbiya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that is part of our Aqidah, but we do not follow them. That does not mean what they brought is wrong or anything like this. No, it's Alhamdulillah, that also is a Kitab of Allah in its original form, that book also is a book of Allah, but we do not follow them. In another hadith, Rasulullah said that anyone who follows any religion other than mine after my coming, all the Jews and the Christians included, he said, will go into the hellfire, will not get into Jannah, because this religion is the last and final religion, and it makes everything else which has come before it invalid after the coming of this religion. So the Quran al-Kareem is not only a book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is not only a final book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but it is the last and final book which supersedes every other book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala which came before that. This Nabi supersedes every other Nabi which came before him alayhi wasalam. So the point is that we therefore, because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the last and final Nabi, and because after him there are no Anbiya, therefore the job of conveying the message of Islam, the job of correcting society, the job of ensuring that human beings fulfill the trust for which they have been sent, that job has been given to us, meaning the Ummat of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This job is the job of every Ummati of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, man or woman, any race, any culture, any nationality, wherever you might be, I might be, this is our job, to convey, to practice and to convey. It's not only conveying, it's a question of also practicing it. So we convey by speech and we convey by action. Obviously the result of that is that the world will be run according to the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants it to be run, which is the best way for the world. The single fundamental principle of that way is the principle of justice, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned very clearly in the ayat of Surah An-Nisa, where Allah said, stand up for justice even if it be against yourself. Meaning that if you have done something wrong, own up to that, accept it, don't try to hide it. Standing in justice against yourself means what? Means this, means that if you have done something wrong, and we are all, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, all people are the people who make mistakes, and the best of the ones who make mistakes are the ones who make tawbah. So therefore, if we have done something wrong, then we accept it, and that's the meaning of standing up for justice against yourself. And then the ayat continues, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and stand for justice against your own people who are closest to you, your parents, your brothers and sisters, your relatives, and so on and so forth. So that justice is established. In Islam, there is no concept of a special law or a special consideration for Muslim and something else for non-Muslim. In Islam, justice is justice. Anywhere, justice is justice, not only Islam. This is the problem today with the world, where today now the world, what has happened to the world today is everything is the opposite of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent us to do. Allah sent us, as I said earlier, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us this interest to use for the benefit of everyone. Instead of that, the world is now cornered by a few people for their own personal benefit at the cost of everyone. Instead of being for the benefit of everyone, it is being done at the cost of everyone. People are paying for the benefit of a few people. So this is one thing. Second thing is, justice is interpreted today in a very different way, which is justice is interpreted as, what is justice? Justice is a different law for the ones who are wealthy and a different law for the ones who are not wealthy. So what is done does not matter. Who does it is what matters. So murder is murder for one person. For another person, it is not murder. Somebody has done anything, something wrong, stealing, for example, like we have in our country. There are some people who steal small amounts of money and they will sit in jail because they have been convicted of stealing. But the other people who steal hundreds of crores, thousands of crores, they are living happily ever after. Nothing is happening to them, right? They are walking free, doing free. You give one bribe and you get into trouble, and somebody is giving not one bribe, he is giving bribe in Allah knows how many, but they are all walking free. Now this is the problem of this dunya. And that is the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent us not to sit and complain about it, but to do something to correct it. Now you might say, well, I am a single human being, what can I do? How can I correct the government? How can I correct what is happening globally? Nobody is asking you or me to correct governments and to correct what is happening globally. All correction begins with ourself. Everything begins with ourself. People say, what can I do? I am only one individual. That one individual is the most powerful thing in the world, because everything begins with one individual. At the end of the day, it is the individual man or woman who decides that I am going to change my life. As a ripple, it's like throwing a small pebble, chota kankar, in a still pond. No matter how vast that might be, if you throw a small pebble, it creates ripples. And those ripples eventually go to the bank, to the other end of the pond. No matter how big that pond is, that ripple eventually reaches the other end. So it is, everything starts with one small thing. And what is a tidal wave? A tidal wave is a ripple magnified. The same ripple, magnified, becomes a tidal wave. It will completely change the environment. And that is where I remind myself and you, that this is why we were sent. We were sent to change our own lives. And if we change our own lives, then inshallah, because of our influence, our own families will change, and then you see that ripple spreading into society at large. And that is how society also comes, and change comes about in society. But unless we do something, we can sitting and talking about it, sending WhatsApp messages and putting posts on Facebook, all of this does not help. What helps is actual personal change. I must change my life. I must change the way I talk, the way I walk, my muamilat, my dealings with people, my muashara, my own environment, my own house, my own family, how I conduct whatever I have to do, you know, public or private. If I change these things, then inshallah, you will find that change happens. And change spreads in society. So don't get worried about how many people are changing. Look at yourself and say, am I changing or not? If I change, inshallah ta'ala, you will find that the world also changes. And even if you and I do not see the change in the whole world, it doesn't matter. When we stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because that's the fundamental principle, Allah will not ask us how much change happened in the world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, did you do something or not? Did you change or not? That's the question for us. Allah will not say how many people change because of you. No, that's minallahi ta'ala, alhamdulillah. Allah will say, did you change or not? What did you do? And as long as that one is clear, inshallah, we are home and dry. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to keep our mind and focus on those things which are fundamental and those things which please Him, and not get distracted into all kinds of other things. And not waste our time. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to put barakah in our work. We ask Allah to accept it. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us with it. And to forgive our sins and faults and shortcomings. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain. Bi rahmatika ya rahmal rahim.